The Tale of Two Cities. And the opening line is, it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. I don't know how many of you here have ever experienced anything like that. Two conflicting things happening at the same time. I'm going to talk for a few minutes. I don't want to be too lengthy today because I need time for the Lord to do His work. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Acts 3, 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Peter and John did not stop being Jewish or Israeli. They went to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 p.m. They were going to the temple to pray. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Interesting that he might not even have been able to sit up. They laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in to the temple. How many know there's never a good time to have a baby and there's never a bad time to have a baby? I love young couples. Well, we're waiting until we can afford. No. Doesn't happen like that. These people were so hopeful and happy. And this little boy was born, yet when the midwives delivered him, they saw something that they didn't like. For instead of leg bones and ankles, this baby had noodle-like things. And they were hopeful that maybe as he grew, they would harden and become part of his structure. But they never, never did. And so this man that was laid at Gate Beautiful daily had never walked. He had never even made an attempt. He never stood on his own feet. The only way he could move around was crawl his torso. Using his elbows, he would crawl wherever he went unless someone helped him. He would be dependent on others for his entire life. If any of you, if your families have had to deal with some of these things, and I guess I don't know if it's politically correct to use the word disability, but if they've had problems like this, it affects them for a lifetime. Think of this guy's family and their future. He would never, ever live alone. He would never take care of himself. He would always be dependent on somebody else the entirety of his life. And if you've ever known or part of a family, the parents of and this one was severely disabled, the parents of anyone like that, it's a very big stress on the entire family. Indeed, something that should have been one of the best of times, the birth of that baby became the start of some of the worst of times. I have faced a couple of those things in my life. I've had a good life, friends. Don't let me fool you. I've had a good life. God's been good to us. And one of those best and worst of times is in the summer of 2009. I had been invited to play golf at the Teepee Stadium course in Ponte Vedra, Florida. That is where they play the Players' Championship. You can watch it on TV, the whole nine yards. It has one of the most famous holes in golf. It's the Island Hole, number 17. And I was invited to play there. And guess what? I accepted the invitation. Furthermore, because of my connections, I was going to play for free. Oh, that was really good. So we were visiting my son there in Jacksonville. And we had left his house. And We are now pulling in to this palatial country club with gates on it. and they only opened the gates for certain people, and I don't know how they let us in, but they did. They didn't know what they were doing. And as we passed the gates and we're going in, we're looking at this huge clubhouse that they have there and all the amenities there. But as we're pulling up, my phone rings and I answer it. And it's my brother. And I can't wait to tell him where I'm at. But on the other end of the line, his voice was somber. And he said, "Scott, your mom is about to pass away. She's taking a severe turn for the worse, and I need you to get home, that is, up in New York, as soon as you can. We don't know how long she's going to last." So I got to play the golf round of my dreams with a heavy heart. And very contrasting feelings. If you're wondering, by the way, I did par the 17th Island Green hole. I parred that one. 138 yards, 8 iron. Thank you, Doug. That was a Friday. God helped us go from Florida to New York late that night. And on Sunday, my mom went to be with the Lord. The best of times and the worst of times. Thank God we were able to see her and talk with her and so forth. Now, having babies is supposed to be a wonderful time. Our third son, Nathaniel, was born early on a Sunday morning. I was pastoring, and we were in the middle of building a new church. In a new church building, we're in the building a building project, and in a place where a new church had not been built for many decades, and so it's kind of a big deal. And so Deb gives birth to this bouncing baby boy. We name him Nathaniel, and everything's good, and so I go home to get a little sleep. And Deb likes to keep me up overnight through these things. And friends, the old days, they had no TVs, there's nothing. We just got to see her breathe. So I just lay down, and the phone rings. Not a cell phone, the house phone. House phone rings. I go downstairs. I answer, and it's Deb. She says, "Something's wrong with Nate." I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I don't know. Something's wrong with him. You need to get back here." What we found out is a nurse was about to feed Nathaniel for the first time, and something prompted him to check Nate out just before he did. And when he did, he found out that Nate had a birth defect. And he didn't have a hole where he's supposed to have a hole. And had that nurse fed him, it more than likely would have killed Nate. We later found out that this nurse is a believer in Jesus, and it was the Holy Spirit that prompted him to check one more time before he fed him. And so, in a fog now, when I should be rejoicing, I'm kind of weepy, and I stopped by our church. It was Sunday morning. I stopped by the church, and I say, "Folks, please pray. Something's not right with Nate. We gotta go in and see what's going on." And by the time I got to the hospital, they were in the midst of transferring him to Buffalo Children's Hospital. That's how serious it was. And they said, "By the way, he not only has an imperfect anus, there's problems with his kidneys that concern us even more than that." So the first time after the delivery, the first time I see my son, well, I saw him first in a sonogram. We were hoping at some point in time that we might give birth to a girl. And I saw that picture on that sonogram. I started to hum. Da na na na. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Those young people don't know what I'm saying, doing, but it's the theme song to My Three Sons. The next time I see him, it's at Buffalo Children's Hospital. He's in an incubator, and he's got hoses coming out all over him. The one that got me the worst is, because it's hard to find a vein, a little baby, they stuck an IV in his head. And it was like, good Lord. what was supposed to be a most wonderful day turned into maybe a very, very long day. And we examined ourselves and we prayed and we did our best to believe. But can I tell you something here today, folks? Jesus is alive. Friends, you better learn something. You don't can't hope that Jesus is alive. You can't hope that the preacher's right. You can't hope that the Bible is right. You better know that Jesus is alive. God still does miracles, my friends. So surgery took place, and I was there alone. Deb was unable to come. I don't know what her problem was. And after several hours, the surgeon comes to see me and says, "Hey, it wasn't as bad as we thought." Because there was a good possibility he would live with a colostomy bag his whole life. And I so pleased Jesus. Because me and that kind of stuff don't get along. So he said, "It wasn't bad. Everything was right there. We just had to do a little stitching and so forth. He's good. But what we're really worried about is his kidneys. They're not normal shaped. They're not shaped properly. And they're not working properly. We don't know what to do yet." And when that doctor came to me and said, "We're really concerned about the kidneys," the Spirit of the Lord came on me and said, "His kidneys are going to be fine." Now, who am I going to believe? Who am I going to believe? Who do I pray to? Who am I going to listen to? I'm glad the doctor was concerned. But suddenly the concern fell away from me. There was another time the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. My in-laws called us. My mother-in-law had just had a heart attack, and she's trying to recover from that. And we get the call that Ellen has leukemia. And that's another time the Spirit of the Lord said, "No, she does not. Don't worry about it." Yes, we prayed. He says, "But she does not have leukemia." And she does, well, there she sits. But you got to know that Jesus is alive. It can't just be here. It's got to run all the way down here. It's got to run from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes that I know that Jesus is alive. 2 days later, as they prepared to do something, I don't know, Deb, if they were going to do surgery or something. I don't know. But they took some more pictures of Nathaniel's kidneys. And when they came out, when they read those pictures, they said, "We don't know what's going on here. Somehow, those kidneys have righted themselves, are the perfect size, and they are operating perfectly. I know the answer. It's Jesus is alive." Now that son, Nate, who has grown, he already had a boy sitting right there, Caleb of his own. And he and Liz Marr, we're here in Arizona, we're expecting again. And there were some complications during the pregnancy, and everybody was being careful. But when Liz Marr broached the 25-week mark, she suddenly went into labor. This is not good, folks. 25 weeks, you're not really viable on your own. Why late birth abortions are nonsense. There's somebody in there. Let me tell you. It was not good. This whole thing was not good. We're supposed to be rejoicing in another grandchild. Grandchildren are easy to accept because they don't have to live with you. Except in the summer sometimes. And they don't pick up stuff. And anyway. We did everything we could, but to no avail. The process would not slow down. And at 25 weeks, Liz Marr gave birth to, when I say a little baby, I mean a little baby you could, roaches your hand. You could hold it literally in your hand. He was rushed to the neonatal ward at the hospital on Thunderbird and 59th in a bid to save the baby's life. Of course, this very church, North Valley Assembly, was praying. I'd ask others to pray. Can I tell you that Jesus is still alive? And he answers prayers. In that neonatal unit, each baby has its own nurse. Well, you know, our baby's nurse happened to be a Spirit-filled believer. And actually knew of us because her brother-in-law was an AG pastor. I can remember those were dark days when we didn't know whether Luke would live or die. And I can remember sitting in my front room and say, Lord, I believe that you'll keep him alive. But if you choose to take him, you better let his great-grandma Thurber raise him in glory. The odds were very long. Most little babies that go in there only come out one way. And it's not a good way. Deb and I went to see little Luke. He was still in an incubator. And I'm sorry for the analogy, but Luke was no bigger than a little kitten. Now, you can call me a liar if you want to, but I'm going to tell you what happened. First, Jesus is alive. We're walking there, and we're facing the incubator, and the baby was facing away from us. And we were obviously talking about stuff. But something got into me, and I went around the incubator, and I got down to the level where that baby was. And when I got down to this level, that baby opened his eyes and looked at me. And I looked at him. He looked almost right through me. I could see fight in those eyes. And I looked closer, and it was almost as if that baby knew me. And we made a connection there in that incubator. And I got up and I said, Liz, this boy's going to make it. He's going to make it. I know he is going to make it. In the midst of all of this, it's good to go to church. We joined with Brother Grammer's church in the Revival Center in some meetings. And in the meeting at the altar call, a lady stood up and said, last night I had a vivid dream. Her name is Linda. I had a vivid dream last night. And I was walking through children in a where there are many cribs and so forth. And I saw this baby in the crib. It was healthy and happy, a happy baby. And she said, sir, that baby is your grandson. He's going to be all right. Against all odds, a few months later, we brought that baby boy home. Jesus is alive. He has ongoing challenges from being a micropreemie, but he is an overcomer. And this last summer, he helped his 8U Colorado team win the state championship with a home run, all right? Jesus is alive. I said, Jesus is alive, and he's doing work. Now, let's get back to Acts 3. Here's this person. He's a man now. He's known nothing but begging his whole life. He never had a date. He never could go anywhere with anybody. He was probably alone a lot of the time, secluded. Nobody's gathering around him. Nothing like that. Think of this for a minute at Gate Beautiful. Don't you think that Jesus passed by Gate Beautiful going into the temple? And hear this man laid, and Jesus passed by. I'm sure he heard Jesus overthrow the money changers. He heard the ruckus. Perhaps he heard teachings and all of those kind of things. I don't know where his faith was, but I'm sure he was there. Jesus messed up the profit takers with the sacrifices. Perhaps he had heard Jesus teach, and yet his legs still didn't work. They were still mush. Was that because Jesus didn't care? No, Jesus had plans for this guy just a little later on. Now, all of Jerusalem knew that Jesus was dead. I said everybody knew Jesus was dead. All they had to do is look up on the hill. Some had suddenly declared that he arose. Everybody knew he was dead, but some said that he had risen from the dead. I don't know if this man believed that or not, but some had said, hey, he's alive. Now, how could this be? We all saw him die. How could he be? Do you know that the Romans would leave the crosses up there for a while? sometimes for months, just to remind people, behave or you'll end up there too. It was an intimidation point. So the cross is still on the hill that Jesus died on. Now somebody was saying he arose. So here he is. It's another day of endless days for this man. He's begging for a morsel or a bit of money, something that he's been doing his whole life. Here he is. Verse 3. Who's seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Do you have something for me? Can you help in any way? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Oh, he was going to get something, all right. He thought that they didn't pass by uneasily, like people that don't care, don't want to care. I'm not talking about people who beg professionally on the street corner here, but those that feel uneasy and they just walk by. But they stopped and said, hey, look at us. Look. Look up. He always kept his head down. He never lifted his head up. He would lift his hand up, but he would never lift his head up because he was so ashamed that he had lived like this his whole life and he had no future in his life. He would lift his hand, but he would not lift his head. And Peter said something new to him. He says, don't look down anymore. Look up and look at us. It's a new day, buddy. Look at us. And so he did. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Oh, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. My question is, what did he have? What did Peter have? He had at least two things. One, he had the unction of the Holy Ghost. This man was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He had the unction and the anointing of the Spirit of God upon his life. Understand something. Yes, they spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost and so forth. But no great work had been done yet at the hands of the apostles since Jesus died and rose again. All right? No great work had been done. But here's full of the Holy Ghost, Peter and John, going into the temple. And they had something. They had the fullness of the Spirit. But the second thing they had is the sure knowledge that Jesus is alive. It was not 99% sure. They were 100% sure that Jesus is alive. That they ate with him. They sat by the fire with him. Hallelujah. They watched him ascend into the heavens. They knew that they knew that they knew that Jesus is alive. Honey, let me tell you something. You better know that Jesus is alive. If you're hoping on some religion that tells you he's alive, it's not enough. If you're hoping for some preacher to tell you that, you've got to know that Jesus is alive. And he's in operation today. His ministry didn't stop at Calvary. It just got started. Peter didn't wait to ask him, now is your faith all there? He didn't ask him if all his sins were forgiven. He just said, come here. And he took him by the hand. Are you there? He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, because that's the hand that would be up. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. I don't know if anybody was around. Can you imagine if everybody had their iPhone? But this man touched this beggar. People don't touch beggars. So interesting. Ministering to the homeless. When someone like me touches them, it's something happens. Not that I'm anybody, but I'm not them. And when they think that somebody would touch them, there's something. Peter was not afraid. He was not afraid of this man's disability. He just took him by the hand. He said, get up. And he lifted him up. And as he's lifting him up, immediately
his feet and ankle bones received strength. I bet you there was a little snap, crackle, and pop going on there. Some of you remember the story of the A.A. Allen meeting. They brought to him this terribly disfigured and disabled baby. All of his limbs were like that. He's 4 years old, couldn't walk or anything. He held him in his arms, and he asked Jesus to do something. I think Brother Schambach was telling the story. And he says, I heard it. I heard the healing. I didn't see it, but I heard. He said, all these cartilages and ligaments and bones come together, and suddenly this four-year-old could walk. Anyways, that's the work of Jesus. It's not the work of A.A. Allen, it's the work of Jesus. So immediately his feet and ankle received strength, and he leaping up stood. How many want to see that video? Leaping up stood. And walked. Most of us have watched a little one go through the process of learning how to walk and so forth. And this man did not go through that process. He was not unsteady. He was not wobbly. It says he stood up and walked. He stood up and walked. And then, first thing he did, he entered with them into the temple. People with disabilities were not allowed in the temple. That's why he was on the outside. You're not allowed in. But suddenly, now he's eligible to go into the temple. He's walking on his own two feet, his own two legs. He entered with them into the temple. And he wasn't worried about being reverential. He was walking and leaping and praising God. I don't know when he got saved. Perhaps between when he was sitting and standing, he got saved on his way up. All I know is that he knew that Jesus is alive and living in his legs. And he began to praise God. And I'm telling you, it wasn't a quiet thing. He began to leap. Can you imagine? Leaping and praising God. Everybody else thought it was just another hour of prayer, but now it became an hour of miracles. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, what I'm saying is this. Jesus has many proofs of his being alive. And here is a proof that Jesus is alive. That work in this lame man is beyond any doubt, because the works of Jesus continue. And the works of a dead man do not continue. He's dead, he's gone, nothing happens. But one who is alive continues to work. It's not a legacy, it's just his continued work. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Can you imagine the little old ladies talking about this? And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. It just didn't happen to him. Jesus did a work. Jesus does work. He must be still alive. He must have risen from the dead, because he still does his work. I'm going to tell you one more time. Jesus is alive and he's in operation. And he's in operation today. His works haven't stopped. His works have gone on by the power of his Holy Spirit. His works are alive in 2025. It's no harder for Jesus to heal today than when he walked on this planet around Israel. It's not any harder for him. He has not slackened in power. Not one ounce of power is slackened. He can do anything and everything if he'll find somebody like Peter and John to walk in the fullness of the Spirit and believe. Jesus didn't forget this man. He had this purpose. Others think that Jesus forgot. He didn't forget him. He was saving him for Peter and John to show the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel,
Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk? It's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, who has glorified His Son Jesus. Now Pete just sticks it right between their eyes. Whom you delivered up, I think he pointed his finger, and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And then you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The living Jesus provided the soundness for those legs, and thousands responded. Thousands. 5,000, if they were counting, respond to the gospel. I submit to you today that your issue, your problem, that if you will pray and offer it to Jesus, that He will help you. It's a lot to swallow. There are so many charlatans out there. And I can't tell you how badly I despise them, because they make what I'm preaching today difficult. Nonetheless, regardless of what anybody else does, Jesus still works today. He gives ankle bone strength today. He still heals today. He does all that stuff today, July 27, 2025. It's here if somebody will really believe that Jesus is alive. Most Christians I talk to, they hope that what I'm teaching them is right. They hope what the Bible says is correct. They're just hoping it. That's why not many works get done, because we're just hoping that our religion will get us over the hump when we pass away. And we won't go to hell, but we'll go to heaven. But somebody ought to know that Jesus is alive. And it makes all the difference in the world. It'll make a difference how you live. It'll make a difference how you pray when you know He's alive. Peter and John knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive. Do you know? Do you know if Jesus is alive? You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I don't know. Maybe you have a bigger burden than this guy that never walked. Maybe you have a bigger issue than him having to beg his whole life. I don't know. All I can tell you is maybe you're living in the best. Something that should be the best of times has turned into the worst of times. And I know Jesus is alive. And His Spirit is here today. And He has come to do work. I said the Spirit of God has come. He put his coveralls on. And He's come to do work today. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about who lays hands on you. It's about whether we're going to believe that Jesus is alive today or not. If you'd come, Carla, please. Actually, the music team can come. I want you to sing quietly, "Arise and Be Healed." This hour, this moment, most preachers like me won't even put themselves out there like this. Listen, in many churches we've just kind of poo-pooed. We pray for the sick, but we don't believe because we don't see much. But I know Jesus is alive today. And if that's you, you need something what Peter and John gave to that lame man. It was faith in the name of Jesus who is alive. If you'll believe, I want you to come. If you can get here, I want you to come to this altar and we're going to believe with you. I'm going to ask Jesus to do His work. Come on up. We're just going to pray. We're going to believe. And then, interesting, Peter didn't have to give a whole dissertation.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.